I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Three, Barton Hahn, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number to get in touch with us. And we get in touch with you on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. And Bart Scott, when it's hour number three, what does that mean?
The power. Hour.
I need that. I need you to say it with your chest.
The power hour. No, that was too, really, that was too much.
That's weird, man.
The power hour.
There you go. I like it better when you go Schwarzenegger on me.
Get to the chopper now. Get to the chopper. Hand me the weapon.
Very interesting stuff out there in the rumor mill. Rumor mill in the NBA. We will get back to NFL, of course. There's plenty to get to on that. But in the NBA, there's now talk of the Pacers, and I've heard this, and actually this is something being kicked around for a couple of months. This is not like new, but it's sort of because we're about 8 days now from the date where everybody, every single player in the league is now available to be traded. That's December 15th. It's the unofficial start of the trade season. And the Pacers are apparently kind of already listening to deals for several players, including Domantas Sabonis, who's an all-star. And Caris LeVert, who they just got.
Right.
And also Miles Turner. Mm. And Miles Turner is somebody that there's several teams. He's a big man who can shoot threes, and he's a good shot blocker. And there's several teams that are going to be interested in him.
How much money he make?
$17 million. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
So why wouldn't? So you're saying he's a finishing
and product? He's 25 years old. He's not old.
So why wouldn't the Knicks want him instead of Miles Turner?
The Knicks were reportedly engaged, or at least there was some kind of discussions before the season started with him. And the other name involved would be Mitchell Robinson, who does need to be signed at the end of the season. He's going to be a restricted free agent. And now,
he played himself to a
win. And he just has, right. I mean, he just really hasn't had a great year. And having another guy that can stretch the floor, space the floor, might be a better fit than a guy who just sits, you know, in the paint clogging it up.
Yeah.
But Mitch is younger, and he doesn't make any money right now. But he wants to get paid. So, but if the Knicks are one thing that you would say, all right, well, there's a move that'd be interesting. What would it cost you? It'd probably cost you Mitchell Robinson and maybe a pick.
Meh.
A future pick, though. I wouldn't give a first.
Yeah, meh.
And there's only 1 year left on Turner, so you're not really locked into too much on Turner. But what if you're the Brooklyn Nets?
Ooh.
How would he fit on that team, which their rim protection is almost nil?
Yeah.
And, you know, Nick Claxton's a really nice player, but he's availability, a bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm. They rebuild, so you just want somebody to take the money.
But what about if you put him on that team?
But do they have anything?
Well, yeah, they have, Claxton, you know, maybe another piece. They don't really have a lot of other capital to offer, but still, that's why if you're the Knicks, you got to worry about, are they going to get him?
Yeah, they don't have any first-round picks, so it sounds like if they get rid of Sabonis, then...
Sabonis is another thing. I don't know what it would... It would be really hard to get a guy like him and where he would fit. He's used to the ball. He's used to, being the centerpiece of the offense, the ball running through him. He's a really good passer, just like his dad was.
Well, here he can be here.
But
he
No, you don't want him here. No. He doesn't fit. Again, you got Julius Randle.
So you want Turner here?
Yeah, I think Turner would be more of the fit.
So is Sabonis better with the Nets? He can just be Brook Lopez. No.
Again, James Harden has the ball in his hands 100% of the time. Kevin Durant has the ball in his hands the other 100% of the time. I know that didn't make sense, I'm saying.
So both people for Miles Turner.
Just think both teams, I think, should be in on him. Now, when people say to me, well, what do the Knicks need to do? Well, the roster's clunky. It's just like the Lakers. It's the same thing as the Lakers. The roster's clunky. It just doesn't fit the coach. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that's Kemba Walker not playing, not because Kemba Walker can't play. It's just this isn't the right place for him fit-wise. So they're going to move on from him. They should do the right thing, move him to a team where he'll play. But that doesn't fix the problem at point guard, which is they still have an issue at point guard.
Yeah.
But when you think about what other needs they have, well, they need a 3-and-D wing guy. Guy that can catch three, guy can also defend. And a guy I'm looking at, is another team to watch, is the Portland Trailblazers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, things are really going south there. Bad. You know,
You pray. You pray to 12-pound, 7-ounce baby Jesus for Dame Lillard.
Yeah, I do. I pray for where some, because Neil O'Shea was never going to do it. He's now out. Does someone finally go to Dame Lillard, just like Kevin McHale had to go to Kevin Garnett, and say, "Listen, we gotta rebuild, and it's going to help us to trade you while you have value." And that's what's going to have to happen. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but that's what has to happen. He's never going to go to them and say, "I want out." It's not going to happen.
Wasn't reports that he was kind of kicking around with the Lakers?
Yeah, and then he mocked it on the Twitter,
on
social media.
That mean it was real?
No, it's. I think he keeps it 100. I don't think Dame plays games with anybody. Mm-hmm. But the other Robert Covington's a really interesting name. A terrific 3-and-D guy in the last year of his contract, and they have Norm Powell, who kind of does the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're looking for thing, how can they, you know, look at little moves. It's not going to be brand names. Look at little moves like that.
What about Sacramento, man?
Listen, that's the other team. Watch them. You know, they just, again, they had to go through changes. They go through, they get transition. They have drafted guards over and over. They have a bunch of guards now. And you can't keep them all. And who's the guy that's making the most money? De'Aaron Fox.
Right.
Where did De'Aaron Fox go to college?
Kentucky.
I've
been saying that, man. I've been saying that since the beginning that they should go for him.
So here's the thing, though. In Sacramento, they don't want to see that happen. Nobody wants to see De'Aaron Fox go.
But they love Hollenberg. I know. He's the same player.
And they love Davion Mitchell. They love him, too. They drafted him. He's terrific. So you can't have them all. You got to figure it out. And, you know, how do you make it all work?
Give him a big man.
Somebody's going to have to move.
Give him a big man.
So I would watch all this stuff and see what happens. But something – with the Knicks, something's got to be done. With the Lakers, something's got to be done.
You know what?
You can't – like, these are two teams that are underachieving, but they're also – it's only based on your expectations, not on what they have. When you look at the rosters, they don't make sense. So the underachieving isn't that, well, the players are bad. It's that it doesn't really fit.
Who's going to apologize for the way this team is constructed?
Which team? The Lakers?
The Lakers and the
Knicks. Well, we all know
and the Knicks.
We all know the Laker thing is blame the front office, which is we know there's a lot of influence from LeBron on this. Right? Like, we know that.
Yeah.
And LeBron has to get healthy and has to be able to play at a regular – like, we don't know what he's got left in the tank because we haven't seen him play regularly like we're used to doing.
So two teams that we got to figure out, right?
Yep.
Because you heard Dame said that he wanted Ben Simmons. So if they get Ben Simmons, he ain't going nowhere. Like, I don't know who they would give up to get Ben Simmons out there, but Dame wants to play with Ben Simmons.
That's a report.
So he likes the idea, but it's probably going to cost you McCollum, which does nothing for the 76ers. But still, Kyrie's still out there trying to figure out what's up with that. Will he play for another team or will he retire? Who knows? That's a story to watch, too, because what happens with the Philadelphia 76ers? What happens with the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie? Mm-hmm. What happens with Dame? I feel like it's all connected.
Still waiting to see what Kyrie does, but all the reports are that he's just working on his own and he just is not ready to get vaccinated. And because of that, he can't play in half the team's games.
He waiting for the pill or something?
Maybe. Maybe he's just waiting for an alternative or something that he feels is a little – like he doesn't trust it, and that's just how he feels. So that's it. And he's getting paid to not play, which, again, it's the way of the world. Simmons also being paid to not play. And if I'm a receiving, I don't care who I am. I mean, come on. Ben Simmons, we know, is a talent as far as defense when he wants to
and a
playmaker. Right. We know that we've seen him at times where you're just like, wow, he's a dynamic player who really affects the game. But what we've learned about him of late, the last year, is he really made for the big moment?
Soft.
Yeah. And so if I'm getting him in a trade, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm getting. So, like, there's one. It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I love him. I've been trying to get him.
Well, if I'm Sam Presti, you're sending me picks for Ben Simmons because I don't know what I'm getting. I don't know what I'm getting. I don't know when he shows up. I don't know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Is he going to be motivated to play here for a team that we know is rebuilding? Is he going to want to play here? am I getting a guy that's going to be motivated to be a leader, which is what I need with a young group? I know what you're getting. You're getting a really dynamic young guard who's going to help him and Joel Embiid are going to be terrific together. I know what you're getting. You better give me some picks as insurance because I don't know what I'm getting with Ben.
Yeah. Are they conditional picks?
I don't want them conditional at all. Maybe you'll want them. All right, I'll tell you what. If Ben becomes an all-star next year, all right, maybe that first becomes a second. Something like that. But I don't know what I'm getting. The bottom line is like that there's so many things that are out there right now over the next couple of weeks that you keep an eye on. But don't look for all the brand names. We're hearing about brand names again. Ben Simmons and Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum and De'Aaron Fox. Those are names that are fun to talk about because they're brand names. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of, I don't want to say bargain shopping.
Eric Gordon.
There's going to be a lot of that stuff. That's another name. I'm curious about that one, too.
I love him, man. Like
he but built, Houston's winning now.
Built like a quarterback.
Houston's
man,
winning
built
games.
Like a fullback, man.
He's tough. Yeah. Dude, no. And we remember in the playoffs a couple of years ago when they were in the Western Conference Finals and Harden had the hamstring. Oh, no. Chris Paul had the hamstring and Harden just nowhere to be found.
Eric Gordon.
Who was the guy showing up?
So I, finally healthy.
And if I'm Eric Gordon, if you're the Rockets, you want to do right by him? All right, we're going to put you on a – we're going to send you somewhere where you're going to have a chance to win.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's kind of where you want him to go.
He's a baller, man.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's see. Let's go to Lee on Long Island. Go ahead, Lee.
What's up, Barton, Han? How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on, man?
Not much. I was talking about the, Indiana Pacers trade. Is Malcolm Brogdon up for trade? He'd be a good point guard.
Haven't heard about his availability on that front. I think Rick Carlisle covets him because he's a high IQ player and Carlisle really puts a lot of pressure on his point guards. I don't see him as a guy that's going to be easy to get because of what he can do. I just find it interesting what Indiana's doing as far as like making several players available. It does look like they're trying to reset things. Let's go to Don in Dallas. Don.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Two quick things.
Yep.
I think LeBron's kind of used to the roster blow up. He did the same thing in Cleveland when it was D-Wade, Isaiah Thomas, all those guys, and we had to get rid of them on that team. And also with the Cavaliers, what do you think we're missing to be back into that top eight? Because right now, man, we're looking good, but we're just real young.
Now, who are you talking about here? Not the Lakers. You're talking about the Cavs?
Yeah, Cavaliers.
Yeah, well, the Cavs are right on schedule. You know what I want to see is, like, I know he's injured, but Colin Sexton.
They hate him.
He does. Well, they don't hate him, but he doesn't fit. You know, Kevin Love is the other one that everybody's waiting. When are they ever going to move him? When are they going to move him? Can he help?
Can he even play anymore?
Can he help somebody? No, he just showed you he can hit threes. He can still play. But, you know, like, what value does he have to a team where, I don't know, if you're Kevin Love, you want to go somewhere where, you know, I have a chance to win. You want to go on another team with it's bad.
I mean, but he is on the Cavs.
So I just like what they're doing. The Cavs, pardon me, the Cavs have done a very good job in building themselves back. And Eric Mobley, by the way, he's legit.
Yeah,
he could play. And Darius Garland's come a long way certainly as well. Let's go to Andrew in New York. Andrew.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Just wanted to point out, maybe you guys, this kind of buys into what Bart was talking about earlier in the Patriots, but maybe we should give the Dolphins a little credit because they had two quality wins against the Patriots and the Ravens. That's all.
It's amazing to think week one what we saw. Like what we saw week one.
Yeah, but
they get that with Brian Flores, and then they just went on a complete tailspin, but they've recovered well since then. It's amazing.
Ever since.
Some of the Dolphins alumni were calling him out, Brian Flores.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, they need to move on from him. They need to fire.
Ever since then. Yeah.
They have done nothing but win, and they've played a lot better. What's the difference in the Dolphins?
I mean, I think Tua is playing much better. I mean, he has the highest completion rate pretty much out of every quarterback in the league over the last 5 weeks. He's just getting the ball out. He's really efficient, not turning the ball over. And that defense has always been top-notch.
Yes.
That defense is always coming to play now. And they're getting it done from that standpoint. So, you know, it took a while, I think, for some of these new players and new pieces that they brought in to kind of figure it out. They still struggle with the offensive line, but they're a talented football team.
Who doesn't?
You think about Waddle. You think about they got Will Fuller, I think, finally came off of suspension because he was suspended for the performance enhancers last year. And then they still got Parker. You know what I mean? They got a great Gasecki. Like, it's a great tight end. So they got the pieces. They just have a bad offensive line. but they played a lot better because we thought this was a team that was going to compete for the division. You know, they made a lot of transactions. They already still have two first-round draft picks for next year.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that. Was it seven? Like, right? Was it seven in a row? Whatever it was. Like, they looked like
well,
it was
five in a row. They were one. They were 1-6, and now they're 6-7.
Okay, there you go. Right. It just they
1-7. Now they're 6-7.
Right. That's what it was. It was 1-7. They look terrible, and now it's like they're starting to look all right. They figured it out, credible, and now again it buys you into. Do you trust now what Brian Flores has going into next season? That's really what this is. With a lot of teams like this, when you're going through that, trying to build a team up, you want to see yourself trending up towards the end of the season. So even if you don't have a chance to make the playoffs, although they kind of still do, if you don't have a chance to make the playoffs, at least you feel like, all right, momentum now into next season. You kind of know the pieces that you have. That's what you want.
Yeah, but
it doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah, well, they want Deshaun Watson regardless if he's available.
Baritone Jones in Queens.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening, man?
I want to talk about three things. One, you know, the top 10. And then, Alan, you mentioned something about Steph Curry 2 months ago I want to talk about.
All right.
And the third, I don't think I wouldn't be surprised if Fitzdale takes over as a Lakers coach because of LeBron James. But anyway, the reason why I feel that Duncan is top 10 – 20 years he's been in the league, the Spurs made the playoffs every year. So that's another argument. And second, if he had went to Orlando when he was a free agent, Orlando would have been won 3 or 4 championships. And also, Bart, you said that if Steph Curry wins 2 more championships, you would have the argument that he's better than LeBron. You remember saying that?
Yeah, yeah. I said Kevin Durant, right? If Kevin Durant got 4 titles.
No. Not to Allen. Allen said that if Curry wins another championship or two, you should start talking about if.
Well, I said you should. You can put him like in that conversation because it's if you're going to go rings and now he matches the amount of rings that they both have and the impact on the game. That's what I was saying. And that's why I brought it up. It's like, you know, he's got to – you got to put him in the pantheon of all-time greats. And that's the top – to me, the top 10 is that hall of the greatest, right? Like top 5 is even more exclusive. So, yeah, I mean, but you still got to get the rings first. And then along the way of getting those rings, you see the performances, and that will start to change it. But it is worth bringing up. We haven't gotten there yet. But it is, you know, again, it is kind of worth bringing up. By the way, Bart, I want to get your take on something. So, as you know, Kemba Walker has been benched.
Mm-hmm.
Kemba Walker is a guy who's very popular around the league. He's really good in Charlotte. He played well in Boston, but you know, hurt a lot. Homecoming in New York did not work out. And 20 games in, Tom Thibodeau pulls the plug and says, not only am I not starting him anymore, I'm not even playing him anymore. Now, when you're a veteran in the league who's had success, it's tough to handle something like that.
Yeah, that hurts.
Kemba Walker's handled it pretty well. Listen to how he described, you know, what he's dealing with.
I could be pissed. I could be upset. But at the end of the day, there are some young guys here, you know, who look up to me. I'm pretty sure they wanted to see how I reacted to the situation. And, you know, anybody on my team down the line can be in the same situation. And, you know, maybe I could be a role model in that aspect, you know. I love being around my teammates. And I'm going to cheer them on until I can't anymore.
What do you think of him handling it that way and being, you know, saying, hey, some young guys are watching the way I handle this, how I act, and, you know,
yeah, bravo.
I got to take the high road.
Well, bravo. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you find menace for him because, like, you're like, man, this
ain't charity. Come on.
Yeah, it's true, but if he can play, he can come in. Listen, he still can score points. He's still a guy. He's still that guy.
Right.
And if he's playing in spurts, then he's going to stay more healthier. And maybe he can adjust. Who's to say that he can't?
Well, I just feel like he's a guy that needs defense. The ball, and he just in this offense, he, you know, it's Randall's ball, man. It's pretty clear.
Yeah, but how's Randall doing with that ball?
Not great.
So, some point, he might lose the ability to be the guy that gets the ball.
Yeah.
Especially if you make a trade and you get somebody else that the offense can go through.
Well, good luck doing that. You got to find yourself a point guard. We'll see if they can do that. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll continue with your calls. So, as we mentioned, off last night's game, Monday Night Football, Bill Belichick clearly had his team prepared. He always has his teams prepared. But when you're a young coach and you're looking up to the great coaches, you kind of see that is the standard, right? Have your teams prepared. Well, there's something about the Jets' young coach who cannot say that about his team from Sunday's loss. We'll discuss. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
It's a new day for Notre Dame football.
This team is prepared to be victorious.
Don't miss new Fighting Irish head coach Marcus Freeman when he joins Canty and Golic Jr. today at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports starting January 15th, unvaccinated NBA players will not be allowed to return to the U.S. if they leave the country. That includes playing road games in Toronto. 97% of the league's players are vaccinated. DeMar DeRozan of the Bulls will miss his second game in a row tomorrow night against the Cavaliers. DeRozan is now in the NBA health and safety protocols. Two other Bulls players tested positive for COVID-19 last week. UConn guard Paige Beckers will be out 6 to 8 weeks with a bone fracture just below her left knee. Beckers had right ankle surgery back in April. And ESPN's Tim Kirkjian wins the Baseball Writers Career Excellence Award. He'll be honored at the Hall of Fame ceremonies next summer in Cooperstown.
Bart and Han.
I got to ask a question for the people, Deacon.
Your mouth full, man. What you doing, man?
Bro, it usually goes volley to Allen, Allen volley back. You caught me mid-drink, man. Usually most people get real fat and thick for the winter months. Me, I'm crazy. The opposite. I get thin.
What does that have to do with what I just asked you?
You asked me, do I got something in my mouth? Yeah. Call a protein shake because I ain't ate yet.
Bart and Han.
You're the right kind of wrong, though. You're the right kind of wrong, I'm telling you.
Sometimes Key can't handle the truth. Am I getting skinny?
Yeah, actually, I'm definitely.
Nice. Keyshawn getting fat.
I haven't seen him in a while. I can't really comment.
I'm just playing, man.
But I just like, again, that's one of my favorite things about doing these shows. Like when you would talk with Candy. Like I love when, and it's the best thing about Get Up when you watch Get Up. It's like Greeny sits there and he sets up the guy and it's pros. And they just go off on each other. Like it's fun.
Yo, what are you talking
about? It's so locker room. And it's the best. That's what makes it interesting. Is hearing what you guys have to say about things, how you know, you holding grudges, mm-hmm. like you begrudgingly, like the Patriots didn't do anything last night. That was the Bills just being dumb, like that. That your take at the start of the show, I should hold you accountable for that.
But honestly,
but then you explained yourself, so I'll give it to you.
I really didn't get a real assessment of like who's a good team. Like when you got the elements. Like, it's the ultimate equalizer.
Of course.
So it's like I couldn't.
Well, which team was more prepared?
Yeah, but.
But which team was more prepared?
See, but was the team more prepared because the weather and the inclement weather more favors how they're built as a unit?
Okay.
So, I mean, the Bills don't have a power running game. So when you try and put Singletary a little bit in there, he was getting thrown out the club. He was running to a wall.
They've been trying to get a running game there for a year. I know, you're right.
Like, he was running to a damn wall.
Yeah. No, it's true. All right. Well, that's the issue there. But still.
You know,
that brings me to this, though, Bart. Mm-hmm. And I know this is close to your heart, but when the Jets played the Eagles and Minshew Mania shows up instead of Jalen Hurts.
That was worse.
It became like this whole, like, oh, my God, it's Gardner Minshew. Like, so?
That you know what, you know.
And they couldn't do anything. They got gashed by the running game. Yeah. He's throwing a ball around. So, he's dancing with his dad outside the building afterwards. Like,
so this is
you talk about disrespectful.
Crazy thing about people like
that. Guy had a mullet, and he was kicking your ass.
Well, he looks like the dude off the dodgeball.
Joe Dirt. He's Joe Dirt.
Yeah, with the little, the handlebars.
Yeah. He's like, no. He's definitely owning that whole image. He's owning it.
I'm glad he cut the mullet off because he would have got punched in the face. Not a mullet was there. No, I think he cut it off. It's like a LeBob. It's not the traditional. He had the sag mullet with the stub with it on the side, like the guy, like the lineman for the Jets, like a totally.
Oh, Freeney.
Yeah, they're like, come on, man, like, stop it, grow up. But really, like Minshew was worse. Because Minshew, the run game still don't suffer. They just handed it off to Miles Sanders, where usually that would be Jalen Hurts.
They ran for, 150 yards?
Well, they hadn't had a 100-yard rusher.
I know.
And, man, I just turned the heat on. It's hot. They turned on, you know, they hadn't had a 100-yard rusher in, I think, like five seasons.
Yeah.
And Miles Turner became the first one to get it, right? And then Dallas Goedert with the draft. But the problem is Minshew is like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he doesn't turn the football over. That's the difference between him. He's just like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He gets hot, Minshew mania, but he won't turn the ball over. So he makes good decisions, but he still is athletic enough to hurt him with his legs. So when I heard that Minshew was in there, I felt like, man, this is bad because I knew the throws would be there that wouldn't be there for Jalen Hurts.
All right, with that in mind, so you heard Bryce Hall say, well, we didn't prepare for Minshew. We weren't prepared for him. And that sounded like the coaching staff did not have us ready for this possibility, which, of course, Robert Saleh then had to answer to what Bryce Hall had to say. And here's how Robert Saleh responded.
Players and coaches will always see it differently. You know, I said what I said yesterday. And the reality is, you know, there's when you're game planning an offense and it's something young guys will learn, you're really game planning a scheme. Yes, there's players that we got to have focal points on where we'll manipulate coverages to make sure we're eliminating some guys. But at the same time, you're game planning for a scheme and a play caller. And the difference between Jalen Hurts and Minshew was Jalen Hurts would be QB run game and Minshew would be RPOs, both of which we prepared for. And so the scheme, the plays, the run game, all of it exactly the same. The formations, the tempo, all of it was exactly the same. And the way Nick called it was exactly the same. But rather than getting the zone reads, we got RPO. And that for the gist of it was about it. And so to say we didn't game plan specifically for Minshew, sure, you can say that because, you know, we don't talk about quarterbacks. We talk about scheme. It's just something as he grows and learns, he'll see it the same way too.
How do you feel about that explanation? Because as what Sean McDermott said, it sounds more like a player issue than it was our preparation.
Well, Bryce Hall is a cornerback, so he's not really geared into the type of run game that they have, like the details. He's more worried about the combinations of the passing game. But, you know, when you talk about the RPO, you talk about, you know, the quarterback runs and things of that sort in the zone running scheme, it is the same thing. The only thing is you have one more body when you use the running the quarterback because it's 11 on 11 opposed to if you hand it off to Miles Sanders. So it's the same scheme. It's the same runs. It's just who's carrying the football. So I understand that. What Sal is speaking to is a bigger picture of conceptually what are they trying to do. You know, are they a team that's a gap scheme or a zone scheme? Like when they have guys, when they go into this RPO game, is it more of a gap scheme or is it a zone scheme? Are they trying to reach you or are they trying to knock you off the ball with the double teams? And the problem was, it don't matter what scheme, whatever that game plan was that they had, they need to burn that. They need to take it, put it all together, get every piece. Don't let no piece stay around, right? Because whatever that was didn't work. You want to get all those pieces
into a pile.
You want to put some coal on it. You want to put some barbecue chicken on top of the grill because that's what you became, barbecue chicken. We knew that was what it was going to be. Remember, Ulbrich said this was going to be a time to get right?
To exercise
the demons that we had. And then, man, you still need exorcism. You need to call somebody.
It was just a bad look all around, and that defense once again looks bad.
That defense isn't tough. Like it's one of those things, right? They're not imposing, right? They don't have their star Latulé. Like Fotokasi was supposed to be that, but he hasn't really turned into that. They don't have their star Latulé. They don't have their big space eater and it's not that many of them around in the world no more, man. That's why you see this kid from Georgia is like literally. When is the last time you seen a defensive tackle that didn't get sacks be ranked number 3 in the draft? Do we got that big board? We got a big board.
I got the big board right here.
We got the big board. What's the big board? Let's play some
I'm trying to find where he's got him ranked.
Well, I know he was three in some polls, but if he's three, he's still at least
top 10.
His
Kuiper's big board is just top 25. Doesn't mean where he's going to get drafted.
He's there. He's there somewhere. Where are you at?
It's
Georgia.
No, I know.
Do a refined search. Put Fat Boy.
I'm not going to do that. No, I don't. He doesn't have him in the top 25.
Thickness?
Is that how you'd call him? Call him thickness?
That's how you don't hurt people in the hood. But we all know what we mean.
Yeah, for Clemson, he's got the corner. He's got the inside linebacker. But I don't.
You got nobody from Georgia there?
I'm saying from Georgia, I see the corner and the inside linebacker. But I do not see defensive tackle.
I'm unsubscribing to his. I'm going to subscribe to the person that
We'll have to have that conversation when we talk with Mel Kiper.
Let's go Mel Kiper.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729.
Big space eater.
3776.
Good hands. Come down with you. I love the way he talks.
Yeah, he gets into it, doesn't he? Clifford's in Ohio. Clifford.
What keeps Allen Iverson out of the top 10?
No championships.
Okay, so we're talking about not skills. We're talking about a compliment, right?
I think for AI, it was. I think I would probably call it longevity because there was a point of about 5 years where he was an unstoppable force in the league as far as a score goes.
He partied too much,
and then it just it just didn't last. Like these guys in the top 10, man, like this 10 plus years we're talking about
dominance, right?
Of just being one of the best in the league. Man, I just don't think that AI was able to sustain that. And if you ask him, he'll tell you the same thing. He probably was self-inflicted, but it's definitely a name.
He's a Hall of Famer, but he's just not that guy, right?
Yeah, right. He's an all-time great, but he's not in the pantheon of all-time
greats. He's below Isaiah Thomas, too, because Isaiah Thomas did all that for longevity.
You got to remember when Isaiah Thomas first came in the league.
Yeah, like 84.
And then was winning championships all those years later, right? Cody is in Maine. Cody.
Hey, what's going on?
How are we doing?
Long time listener. I love the show. You guys keep 100. And real quick, before I get to my point, Bart, two of my boys, Mike DeVito and Matt Logan, played with you with the Jets. So,
DeVito's the nicest man in the history of the world. Like, he should be like a shaman or something. Yeah, he is.
And they both said that you're the best leader, emotional, physical, and terrifying they ever played with. So, props to you.
Real quick, though,
I want to touch on, as far as the top 10 goes, how come. And I mean, I'm just a Hakeem Olajuwon fan that I just don't see how we can't be either 9 or 10 in the middle of the Michael Jordan dynasty.
Just so you know.
One man stepped up.
Yeah.
Jordan took some time off. But I do have the dream there.
Where would you – like, again, you always – these conversations are not about the guy you want to put in the top 10. It's always about, well, who moves out? Who do you take out?
Yeah, see you later, Bill Russell.
You know what I mean? Man, it's Bill
Russell.
Bill,
you talk about Bill. Who did he play against? Bob Cool. He had Bob Cool. Who did he play against? Who was his competition? Because he played in the 60s. Wilt, right? And Wilt was too busy hanging out with the ladies. You heard Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. His mama made him throw away his clothes they used to give him because they used to stink because he was sitting there with all that musk. And Old Spice and was it karate? High karate?
High
karate and stuff on it.
Brute, you know, by Fabergé.
I mean, but look, who did Bill Russell and them go against? Who was his competition? Like, he didn't really have any competition. The league wasn't filled with guys that were 6'8" that could run and jump. He was one of the first.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Somehow we got High Karate and Brute by Fabergé into the conversation. We want you to listen to Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports impacts our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. It's brought to you by State Farm and available wherever you get your podcasts. More your calls coming up. What team in the AFC? In the NFC, you kind of know. But in the AFC, who is the team you're most confident in that will be there in L.A. for the Super Bowl? You know who it might be. It's not who we thought at the start of the season. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Freddie Coleman.
And I'm Ian Fitzsimmons from Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Wishing you a Merry Christmas.
And a Merry New Year.
From all of us at ESPN Radio.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Han.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Got Giannis fatigue?
Nah.
Are you tired of him?
Not tired of Giannis. No. Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Jay Will, fantastic conversation we have with him. Jason Williams, of course, Jay Williams from Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. Got into what turned into a really interesting debate conversation involving where Steph Curry, who is 16 three-pointers away from being the all-time three-point shooting leader in NBA history. And, you know, when you're the best at something, which he is the best shooter in the history of the game, we're just, well, where does he fit then in the pantheon of all-time greats? Yeah, we do the Jordan LeBron debate all the time, but what about Steph and what he's done in this generation, in his career? Where does he fit? And we thought, is he a top 10? And we debated that. And Jay was a big part of that. Keyshawn Johnson, also, of course, from KJ and Max, he joined us in the first hour of the show, and we talked about the Bills and the Patriots game last night. And as Bart pointed out, was it really about the Patriots, or was it more about the Bills and, as you called them, dumb? About some of the ways that they played, obvious running plays. They only ran, you said, like four or five different plays. They just ran them a lot and different looks to them, and they dominated the game. And Key gave his side of it from a, you know, again, from the offensive side and Bart's defensive side, and that was a fantastic conversation. So if you missed any of that or all 3 hours of the show, you can get it posted daily as a podcast, and you can get it available wherever you listen to podcasts. Just subscribe, and you won't miss a thing. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We're already into week 14. And the Thursday night matchup is, Steelers-Vikings? Yep. And you've got Kirk Cousins and the Vikings and Mike Zimmer now on the hot seat. And
prime time, too.
And again, Ben Roethlisberger again. He's got his team game over 500. And
smoke and mirrors.
Just crazy, right? This is keeping it together somehow, some way. So plenty, of course, to get to in that conversation. But we got you to talk to, and we want to do that. And let's first go to, is it Arias in Virginia?
Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you. How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
All right, yeah. So I do want to talk about the Bills. Just as far as football, I was very pathetic. I mean, you know what to expect. And, you know, you got to be more physical. It's a violent game, and they just got beat up. Also, just I did want to throw a crazy take out there. As far as the Raiders picking up Sean Payton as head coach and then also grabbing Russell Wilson because Derek Carr just doesn't make the plays you need to make. As far as AFC, who's going to be the leaders? It's going to be the Patriots, going to have Kansas City, going to have the Bengals, and as far as, like, wild cards,
Colts, baby.
I can't tell you that.
All right, you got it. I mean, the Colts look like that team in the AFC that you got to watch out for because they've got the cold weather game. They got the line play on both sides of the ball. Quarterback, can you trust them? They got a smart head coach. Like, that's a team, just watch them. They've certainly gone through it. Aiden is in New Jersey. Aiden.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
I just wanted to go back to trade possibilities.
All right.
Most specifically with Miles Turner. One thing to note is that this is a very weak free agency class.
Yes, it is.
Which I believe will drive up the value of all these trade pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Another person to look at is Christian Wood, and another team to look at is the Warriors. Because they have James Wiseman, they have Jonathan Kuminga, and they have some young pieces to trade for a big like Miles Turner. Another thing I want to add, actually, is that according to, like, Profix, which measures player production with their salaries, Christian Wood, Domantas Sabonis, and Miles Turner are actually three of the best contracts in basketball right now.
Well, Wood,
a lot of teams are going to be
Yeah, where did Wood come from?
You're right. Yeah, Wood is definitely a guy I would also watch too, because he's very productive. It is a big contract for him. It was a big contract when he left Detroit.
Hate the Pistons, man. They just get rid of everybody. They're a way to supply the league with whatever they need.
When's Cade Cunningham getting
Kellen Hayes going first.
Kellen Hayes?
And then Bay. They'll get
Sadiq
Bay.
Sadiq Bay can shoot, man. Yeah. Get him on my team.
And he thick, too.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's...
He built like Eric Gordon.
I'm uncomfortable with when you...
He's thick.
When you do that, though, what are you doing when you do that?
Just said he's thick.
But you say that in a way, though. It's not like you say, like, you know, he's built strong, sturdily built. Like you say it like he thick.
Well, the Pistons like thick dudes. Like, you know, remember Chauncey Billups?
Again,
thick,
you're doing it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Remember what's the dude that used to dunk on everybody?
I don't know.
From Cincinnati. Just dunk on everybody. Long ass arms. Never mind.
Praising.
Man.
Yeah, this is what your favorite thing to do. We get to the end of the show. You throw these things out there.
What's his name? Carlos Williams or something like that had high socks when they won a championship. He had only one had the socks up to his knees.
I don't know. But that's where we're going to leave the show today. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back tomorrow. See you, Bart.
Hello.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.